You're good.
All right, I'd like to call to order. This is 13, or excuse me, 1501 or 301. I'd like to call to order the regular commissioners meeting for San Juan County Fire District 3 for October 19th, 2022. We have Commissioner Olson via phone, and Commissioner Colley and Cardinale are present. Do we have, let's see, are there any additions or changes to the agenda that we have set so far?
Not from staff, and I didn't receive any from commission unless you guys have any.
Okay, nothing from Albert. All right, are there any citizens' correspondence?
We have a thank you note that came in. This was a entanglement with a mailbox after a call and something, and crews went back, made sure it was taken care of, assessed it, repaired it, fixed it, and it was a thank you card. Citizen, when we originally talked about it, goes, I was about to fall over one point anyway, and the crew went out, repaired it, put in a new one, got a new mailbox, and installed it, and everything was taken care of. So that was a nice note.
That's the nice thing.
Following back from that.
Okay, yep. Great. Do we have any citizens' comments?
There's none online, and only staff is in the room.
Okay. All right. Consent agenda. Correction and approval of the minutes. Are there any corrections to the minutes from last month? Anybody see anything that? Albert, are the minutes okay?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Minutes are fine.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes for September 7th?
It's such a motion.
I so moved.
Okay, I have a first. I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's fast. All righty, we can move on to bills and payroll.
If you want to start with bills, I'd be happy to answer any questions. You've got the reports in front of you. I will hand you your funds for signatures.
Okay.
Albert's already looked online. I'd be happy to answer any questions on bills.
Ready. I hadn't seen any issues. One question on page 3, there's a line to Brown's Home Center, parts to secure airdrop for engine 31. Is that the well, actually explain what is that?
The airdrop,
that's the hook up to the, yeah, the part plugs in. Is this just to repair that? That's what we're talking about.
It's lot positions. Ladder moved over, moved over. So we needed secure.
I needed to take the airline that was dropped and move it farther forward. And I think I needed an eye bolt to fit into a piece of metal.
So okay. Yeah, I just wasn't sure. I kind of thought that's what we were talking about, but I wanted to make sure it wasn't something completely different. Yes. Okay. That's bills.
Any questions other than yours?
No, I guess not. Any other questions? No questions? Okay.
Albert, any questions?
No, I'm fine with the bills and the payroll.
Yeah, nothing jumps out of payroll. The firefighter overtime, this would have encapsulated the deployment, correct? Or part of it?
The deployment for
the wildland group that we, the wildfire group that we sent off. So the OT and our payment all comes in here. And then as part of the MOB agreement, we get back all of the funding and the equipment. And they've already refunded back the equipment. We're waiting on the payroll side of it. So they're actually processing this a lot quicker than they had in the past. It had taken us 6 or 9 months last year.
You don't have to sign that one.
I don't have to sign
just
that one.
Just the cover.
Just the top.
So that's what we had. So that's in captured in that payroll piece.
Okay.
Question on the same thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it out of
mm-hmm.
Everybody with this latest fire.
No.
Norman,
go ahead, Albert.
Norman, on the MOB, was that state or federal?
State MOB.
All state, okay.
And even though.
No.
Exactly, like Chief Monin said, we wouldn't have got the funds back if it was feds yet, because it would have gone into the hopper. So, and even though it blew back up, no, we didn't go back out on it.
There hasn't been any inquiry asking us.
Well, you have to remember, the, we go active when we have enough to staff to go and to backfill. And Lieutenant Hartzell is managing that part. Chief Monin checks that on a weekly basis. If we have enough staffing for the week, we put ourselves active in the state MOB system. If we don't, we don't go active in the state MOB system. If we also anticipate, like this last one, we went up a day early anticipating because we knew we had staffing for it. And within 12 hours, I want to say, of going active in the system, they called the task force and off the crews went. So we're keeping tabs on all that if there's crews that are available. But we don't have any active right now.
Gotcha. Okay. So payroll. Motion to pay the bill, to pay the payroll?
We'll make a motion that we pay the bills and payroll as presented.
Albert, would you like to second that?
I'll second that, yes.
Great, okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that passes. All righty, moving along, we are now with new business, some discussion on the 2023 budget.
So Foundation, just so you're all aware, this is a working document, so it's not a public document at this point. Next month, when you have your budget meeting, your budget hearing, that's when all these will become active. So I wanted to give a preview of where we are, take any feedback. I know that I've talked to some of you prior to this, but we wanted to have some of this dialogue at the stated meeting. What I'd like to do to start with is have Chief Monin kind of give a historic kind of view and look at taxes, revenues, what we've done, how that's come about, because I think that will put into context how we're predicating this budget and as we move forward. So I'd like to turn it over to Chief Monin.
Chief. Sorry, Albert, I don't have a nice colored piece of paper for you.
I've got the budget.
What I handed out was a couple simple graphs that I put together for your convenience. And touching on the chief's comments about sort of giving the commission a general idea of where we are with things. So if you take a look at the sheet of paper, essentially, I've got two charts in here, and really what we're considering is one, our existing services, what we're providing the community, any projected services that we may provide into the future, tax revenues as we know them, any other revenues, the big mean capital I word inflation, and then you're looking at year over year versus aggregate versus compounding, because they all have an effect on the data sets. So the first chart you see is a 20-year preview, and essentially what it's looking at is the Seattle price index for urban, which is what we use for historically for analysis of our costs. It tends to match the Sandwich Islands pretty well. It also it does fall in line. The chief and I talked about earlier, and he asked me to look at it versus overall inflation for the country, and it follows it pretty close. Seattle's a little more expensive over time. It does show it kind of runs away from that chart in terms of comparison to the national inflation rate. But essentially, this is looking at your 20-year review, and you've got our levy rate versus the Seattle CPI. And what you'll see is an erratic line bouncing all over the place. That's our levy rate. It tends to move around a bit, but notably, you'll see it tends to be compressed under that CPI. And then the CPI rate is more of it's a flatter line. One thing to consider, and we already know this, is the inflation has hit us pretty hard this year, and it hit us hard last year. And that's where you see the blue line departing and then starting to traject upward, where the levy rate that we currently have is flattening out. Moving forward, you know, we're at 40, almost 42 cents per thousand for our levy right now. I don't know about you guys, but I did get my assessment for my property. So my guess is I got about a 15% increase in property value on my property. It's about 17%. So tit for tat, that would mean 15% decrease in our levy. So we could easily see that 42 cents go down next year to probably 38 or so. So our levy compresses as the property values go up because we tax the same amount plus 1%. That's the only amount we can raise. So that's notable. The other thing I wanted to point out was our 50-year review. I went ahead and grabbed a larger data set just so you could see over time how things are working. And I have on this chart, there's basically three matrices. There's taxes collected, there's the levy rate again, and then inflation aggregate year over year. So that, keep in mind that inflation that I put on that chart is not compounded. It's just added year over year.
And that's national, correct?
That's national, yeah. So, and the reason I did that is because the taxes collected are aggregate and the levy rate is aggregate. So I want to make sure those numbers match equally. What's really important is, at least what pops out at me is if you look at the taxes collected and the inflation aggregate year over year, toward that last 48, 49 years, which is current, you have a pattern where taxes collected increase sharply. That's because we took on the town of Friday Harbor and the Outer Islands. So it's important not to misconstrue that, because that's actually not more revenue, because we were contracting with the town of Friday Harbor. What we'd see is a slight increase for annexing the Outer Islands, which, as we know, because it's a boat-served community, it's going to cost, you know, as much as we're collecting, if not more, so if we don't watch it. So it's real important to notice that. And it, essentially what was happening there, if we didn't get that increase in taxes, and technically, if you look at it for what it is, it's flatline. It's the same money. So the concern is what you have is an approaching intersection of the inflation and the taxes collected, where the inflation was going to drop below the taxes collected, which is not what you want to see on a chart. That means you're going to be going in the rears. So it's important to see that. You can see we bounced out of it, but technically I would say we're probably in line and we're at the intersection right now. And that's important from a fiduciary piece a little longer term, because the cost of doing business for the fire services in this community, what we're doing is surpassing our ability to fund it.
The other keynote that Noel pointed out, I think we all know that the cost and how far the dollar goes from 1975 to today is very different. The amount that the district collected in 1975, if you look over at about the year 3 point and you look at the current point, it's the same levy rate in the cost per thousand. So if you picture back to 1975 and the level of service that this district did, it's the same as the levy rate now, with exponentially more services, more infrastructure, more expectation. So that's why I wanted to start on this as a context. Be happy to take a pause for a moment and see if any of you have any questions for Chief Monin. Hey, Albert, did you just phone back in and you've got two up, or did we have somebody else join?
You must have somebody else.
Okay.
No, I understand the financial, the way the state works. I have no questions.
So I am, first of all, thank you for this. This really shows that we're not moving forward very much at all. And I know that you had to do a lot of work to get this together, so this is great. And it tells me that I'm amazed at how much we do for how little we collect right now. We've never gone out for a levy increase, so, and yet we're still offering services. In all these years, we've ended up buying 6 new pieces of apparatus. We've gone to full-time crews. We've done much more extensive training. We're now doing EMT. We're going to start an EMT class here pretty soon. We're supporting that. And we've taken on things like rope rescue and things that we've in the past really didn't do. And they all cost money. And so our level of service has probably increased tenfold. And yet we're still doing it for the same amount of money. And I know that's not sustainable. We're not going to be able to do that for very long. Something's going to have to give. So this is great. It's a great starting point for us. And any comments?
Yes, I have to agree with what Mr. Cardinelli has said. But, you know, the thing keeps running through my mind is, okay, this can't go on. And I'd like, if there's a way that the chief can put together some kind of a list of services that are going to get the axe, because something's going to happen. There's just no question. And, you know, to see what, you know, the doomsday possibility is going to be when it comes down to this, because it's very interesting. I came in on bus yesterday from the airport. There were 7 people on that bus, and the first thing anybody saw was a note for library sign. I hadn't seen that, but hadn't been out of town. And that just lit the bus up. But people are not going to accept anything as far as tax increases go. And you know, so, I mean, that was the conversation on the bus for 45 minutes. And
it's amazing.
So, because, you know, as you just said, I just got my property. I opened it up in the mail this morning. I got my mail this morning and saw my house is worth that much.
Yeah.
Again, as you said, that doesn't include the revenue. It doesn't increase the revenue. That's what people are not going to understand.
Yeah.
And so
the tax bills are largely going to stay the same unless there's a new levy in place, which there are new ones, seem like every year there's some new ones.
Right, and I just saw one today for roads. I mean, I didn't know there was even one for that until I opened my mail this morning.
Right.
So I haven't had, you know, we've obviously been discussing this, you know, the new budget and everything, or we're going to discuss it. We've had a chance to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to see the doomsday list that we could come up with. And okay, these services have, I can't think of any that I would love and that I would like to see right off the bat go, you know, south by any stretch of the imagination. But clearly this is not sustainable. Clearly something's going to have to give. And the operations people clearly are the ones in the front lines are going to say, okay, this is what's got to go.
So I made a couple notes on that and into next year. So after we finalize this, we'll move forward next year. I think putting together sometime early in the year a work session specifically to go over where are you, what are those doomsday pieces, what do projections look like? Because as you've stated, I think you'll be pleased that staff has put together as a budget that will sustain us through the year, but it's not sustainable in the long term, right? So what does that mean as we move forward? We've adjusted how we do operations. We've adjusted how we manage stuff. We've brought things into focus and some streamlining. But if we don't garner some revenue, and from 75 to today, it's the same amount. Well, we know that's different, right? What does that mean? Does it mean browning out stations? Does it mean reducing services? And as you said, Commissioner, no one wants to get rid of services because they're vital, because that's what we're committed to meeting our mission of. However, you can't sustain it in today's dollar with today's expectations, because we know people that live here or have moved here expect the same services that they were living in downtown Seattle or in Chicago or the DC area. It's just the reality of today's day and age that that's how it is. So we need to balance that out in a smaller community with a limited amount of funds. So made a note. I know I was visiting with the chair about we should probably do a work session early on so we can have dig deep and have a good bunch of open dialogue. And we'll put together some of those. So as we get closer to that, what other pieces do you want? We can set a priority list that says these are our highest level of mission critical services. And as you get down further and further on the list, you can say, well, if we don't have funding, then we cut this or we cut that. And then the public will see, you know, it's what services do we provide currently? What services do we not provide currently? And then what's sustainable for the future? So we can have that. And I think the work session's a better or an appropriate spot to have that to you, to what you said. So moving into the budget itself, this is broken into as. Yeah, go ahead.
Norman.
Yes, sir.
I've got one more little bright side that I want to share with my fellow commissioners, that the good news is next year. We have paid off our fire trucks, and I think we were paying about $285,000 a year, and we're going to take on a boat payment of probably $120,000 next year. So we're going to get about $160,000 of excess funds next year that we, so that'll be the bright side of our budget for next year.
You're, you follow me? You're correct. And we've spent $312,000 a year on the current apparatus payments. Next right. month is the final payment at $7,500 as opposed to our standard $25,000 payment. And then they will all be paid off as of next month. And as we get into the capital piece here, you'll see what I've predicated out for next year for the boat. And then you'll get another update on the boat when we get to staff reports. But you're right on that. But at the same time, Commissioner Olson, that helps absorb some of the stuff we have. But still, as we continue forward, that will still dwindle. But you're right. That's helped us come into alignment for next year. Yeah. But the year after, the year after, so on and so forth. Yes.
I think it's okay. With the library trying to get money, the roads trying to get money, I'm sure EMS is going to have to come along and try and ask for more money for their, whatever you call that.
So if I could suggest focus on the budget. Okay. And we can talk about other scenarios at the work session, because I don't think it's appropriate to, at least at this point with the budget discussion, have guesses of what other entities may or may not.
The only comment I wanted to make was that this would not be a good time for us to go out. I think that we would get a lot of kickback if there'd be too many things, too many people asking to get into the pot that's there.
Yeah, see what the economy does and see what the environment does.
Caution, that has always been the case.
Pardon me, I'm sorry.
That's always been the case. There's always going to be levies being asked. So if we always predicated on we shouldn't because other people are, we never will. I have not seen an election without people asking for organizations continuing to ask for more money.
So at the work session, I think that will be a really good conversation, because we and you are going to want to be able to articulate how you've been excellent stewards of the taxpayers' dollar and what it means and what we need, because we're not asking for extra. We're asking to make sure budget to sustain this level of service to meet the mission and expectations of the community so we can meet the expectations that you have set for us. And then we'll have to let the community know. And that's where the doomsday scenario comes into play, that says, here's what we need to provide this level of service. And if it doesn't happen, then here's what the outcome's going to be, right? So, but Commissioner Olson's positive note, this has been put together for a positive for next year. So this is broken down. Each one of the funds, you will see the general fund, the LOSAP fund, and the reserve fund. And these are front to back. As you flip, you see the other page of it. You have 4 years of actual retrospective. You have the current line item of the budgeted for 2022. And then you have the actuals as of to the end of the third quarter with the, what we're proposing and discussing right now into calendar year 2023. My philosophy has always been, since I've been chief here, is that we are conservative on both ends of the spectrum. We anticipate less income and more expenditures. So this is a very conservative way of putting it together. If you notice just right off the bat, actuals, on the bottom of page two, you will see that the ending fund balance of the actuals third quarter show $334,000. That's assuming walking into next year, we spent everything out of it into the bottom. You notice that my beginning fund balance back on page one on proposed 2023 is only $300,000. That's assuming we continue to spend and spend more. We're not going to do that. It's not anticipated to do that. I would rather shoot low and have better, because if you look at the beginning fund balances from 2018 through 2021 actuals, our lowest was at 2021 with 533,000. And I'm saying our initial opening beginning fund balance is 300,000 going into it. Points to call out in the revenues section on this. And so each one of the funds is a summary, and then there's detail sheets behind. Yes, sir.
The fund is the actual for this year, the 550,000.
Mm-hmm. Could you go turn that a little bit, please?
What happened to, why is there a decrease in that if we're just, we haven't spent it, have we?
No.
I mean, why is there a decrease then of $250,000?
So it will be the same into this year as you look at stuff. So what happens is I budget to fully fund vacation hours off, all benefits, all overtime, fuels, repairs. So I predicate that we are going to begin with more because we're going to have spent less, but I want everything fully funded through the course of it. Through the course of the year. So our actuals will show us higher that we're bringing in and we're spending down, but we never will spend all of that unless you spend 100% of what we're predicated in the budget to do.
So this isn't, we're not taking from the beginning fund balance, if you will, during the course of the year, money to pay expenses. That's what I'm,
I hear what you're saying. No, the answer is no, we're not. If you look at, and I also don't budget in any donations, any additional funds that come in. So if you look at the tax revenue of $101.88 million, and then you go down and you see that personnel services is $1.5 million, 485,000. So that's almost $2 million right there between personnel services and materials and services in budgeted 2022, we make sure that that's fully funded. So if we spent everything, yes, we would spend into the beginning fund balance. That is correct. That's why we're dropping each and every year. But the reason it's higher than we budget is because we're not spending it.
I've seen you've done such a good job of, I would say, saving the taxpayer money, because we've never spent it. Like, I can see about the beginning, we'll get to this later, but you know, 85% of the budget, we're almost at the end of the year. So, you know, ostensibly, there's 15% somewhere in there that we've been saving, and that should go over into this. Then, couldn't that go into this 300,000, whatever?
Yes, it will. That is correct.
Okay.
The other thing that will drop into that number, that 300,000 is where we are, because I said we're going to be at right now, end of third quarter, we were at 334,000. The key thing to look at, look up at your current taxes between budgeted and actuals. Budgeted was 1.888. That's what we got from the assessor. At the point in time that I did this, we were at 1.1. We hadn't collected the rest of the taxes for the year, and I predicated that off of that 300,000. You will see when we start talking year to date, when we get into staff reports, our tax monies are starting to come in. So absolutely, but that's part of my conservative nature in putting the budget together. I would rather be conservative and then say, okay, we've got an extra 100,000 or an extra 200,000 at the end of the year, but have budgeted yes in that beginning fund balance and make sure that everything below balances with that. If we're able to save more, that 15%, as you're saying, that increases our comfort level at the beginning fund.
Okay.
So what you will see, the personnel services, that absorbs. We had, as of third quarter, it was 9.1% for CPI. That's the cost of doing business. So all of your personnel expenditures are predicated with that 9% in making sure that our employees stay at that rate. I can jump back really quick to that. If you go to the very last page. Very, very last, it's on the back. You will see that our administrative, all staff, career, and including a bump for all the volunteers, it includes a 9% increase. We hadn't done any changes in our fee for services. That actually equates to about a 10% increase for the volunteer fee for service, because I don't ever want it to be where our volunteers are paying to volunteer. That's wrong. It also isn't right to be paying them as part-time employees and treating them as volunteers. It's a tax liability for them, and it's a risk for the organization. So we have volunteers, and we do a fee for service for being members in good standing with opportunities to make more if they want to by contributing more to the community, as opposed to a payroll piece. Because if they're part-time employees, then it's our obligation to pay benefits and otherwise, depending upon the number of hours that they put in. We don't do that. This also maintains our health incentive program with the physicals that we have, the workout incentive. It includes that performance incentive program that if you contribute more to the community and the organization, you get additional at the end of the year, kind of as a, hey, you went above and beyond, so you get more. Each one of those pay-wise for career-wise is at top step, because I always budget top step, whether they're at the five-year top step or not. And frankly, I think Robin is at year four, so she would have one more step. Everyone else is at top step.
Wow.
So you will be at top step. So then everyone would be at top step.
So we need to fire her now before she gets like it's like.
I would never recommend that. And since she works for me, that ain't happening. I'm not making that recommendation anytime soon.
Before you leave.
Yes, sir.
The staff.
Yes.
I noticed that you have one career AO position.
Yes, we do. He's sitting in the back of the room. So we have one full time AO position and we have four part time.
Oh, OK.
Right. So that complements all.
Right.
Tom's our full time one.
Okay.
So we bumped up the you will notice that the and we'll call this out in our year to dates as well. We had to increase the benefits because we have growing families and we're adding to that. So we have to make sure that our benefits match. That's where you'll hear me explain some stuff in year to date. So the only change in the staffing model that we have is reducing the number of lieutenants and training officer from 4 to 3 and increasing the captain rank from 1 to 2. But one of those captain positions will be changed in title and responsibility to a fleet facilities manager. What that also means is that it will have a promoted position, as I explained here probably a couple months ago, what the thought was. Is the station will have a station captain that's responsible for the station and the management of the crews from the ops perspective, which lets me unlock Captain Lean, turn him into a fleet facilities manager, and focus purely on the facilities and the apparatus. And then he can backfill and give some depth, yet we will give increased leadership and supervision from a management perspective to the crews that are responding, and then put someone overall watching this station and that those personnel. And that's part of this proposal of what we're doing from a personnel standpoint.
Gotcha.
Any other questions from anyone on that personnel sheet before we move on to some other details?
Nope.
Okay. Materials and services. You can see that last year we had budgeted $485,000. Because of efficiencies and otherwise, we are budgeting $475,000. But what I did is I wanted to capture cleaner where we're pulling some of the new employee turnout, some of the onboarding stuff, and you will see where I've moved some of that into capital expenditures. So as we move into the capital projects out of general fund down at the bottom of the page, that $2,900 from the training standpoint, that's going to support incoming training academies. We're looking at doing a EMT class starting in January. That will complete. They'll have a couple months off, a little more than a couple months, right?
Yeah, we had actually talked about maybe moving the fire recruit
to the fall. Right. So there'll be January start for an EMT class. And that's predicated right now of half of the class are existing members because we have enough interest, and then opening it up to some additional. And we've already had some people that have come in and say that they want to get EMT training. So that will start in January. And then we wanted to make sure, because it's the volunteers that would be going into that program, that you don't go straight from an EMT, which is pretty intensive, straight into a fire academy, which is still intensive, right? So take a break through the end of spring and summer, and then start a fire academy in the fall. So next year we will do both an EMT class and a 10-person entry fire academy. The 10-person academy, what we will do from that standpoint is I've already asked ops to look at where are the needed members in the response areas, and then we will do a focus recruitment in those to get new members to come on board. And so that is to include for books and assorted sundry stuff into that process. The community risk reduction and admin, we wanted to make sure that we support our community risk reduction plan. Cursory conversations with the town. Ryan is hoping that we can start sometime in the year, January or shortly thereafter. We'll have to work, and you'll see some ILAs coming back and forth to get those B2 level inspections started and everything right after the first of the year with the town. So that's what we're focusing on. I would anticipate, and the revenues do not capture any of this because nothing is done. Town is committed that there will be some funding stream coming back to us for that. It's because we haven't discussed a number. There is no revenue numbers put into play for that, but that would be an added bonus of what comes in for us taking on that role in support with the town. So the agreement that I would anticipate is we as the district will take on B2 level inspections. We will support and go through as they do the technical inspections for educational like schools, for institutional such as hospitals, jails, and otherwise. And then we will take on the role of investigations. But we will need an ILA to do that. The bottom part for the response, this is predicated that $20,800 is for any needed replacements of turnouts up to 5 sets and wildland gear, exclusive of entering new stuff. That is captured in the reserve funds. This is only ongoing. If someone blows out a set of turnouts, we would pull it out of here. Incoming people, it's a block, and you will see what that is here shortly in reserve funds and not coming out of general fund.
Okay.
Just a quick question.
Yes, sir.
Someone that goes through the academy,
mm-hmm.
do they have to be with us for a while before we give them a set of?
No, because we can't have them go through training without, but I know where you're saying. Our expectation is, and we were just talking about this, especially on the EMT side, is if you want us, or let me rephrase that. If you want the community via us to pay for your EMT class or your fire academy, we need to have something where you're responding back. We would want a year of service of that giving back to the community, whether it's EMT or whether it's fire. we already talked about, we didn't want to make an EMT class exclusive to here. If someone wants to come in and get the class, we'll provide it, but you will pay the full cost of what it is. If you want to be a member of ours, we'll pay it, but you owe us this amount of service, kind of how the military does and other organizations. They will have a contract that they would get into up front that says we want this amount of service back if we pay for it, and then we would go from there. So, but from a fire standpoint and from a response standpoint, they have Class B uniforms and they have proper personal protective equipment so that they can go through, where we're saving some money on the fire side. And Training Officer Kutzing did a good job with this one, and Lieutenant Hartzell, who's our quartermaster. We have non-fire rated turnouts that they wear during the first part of the academy, and the goal is you guys go through and you destroy those, learning how to pull hose, throw ladders, and otherwise, because then we will buy you a new set, and a new set of turnouts is running about $3,500 when you're ready to go into live fire. We want them to use the old stuff that's not fire rated, because we don't have to maintain those to the same level. When they're ready to go into a fire, they get a brand new set of turnouts, and they make sure that they're absolutely safe before we put them into harm's way.
Yeah, the question was, just say you talk about 10 people for that class, but you're talking about $35,000 worth of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It'll stick around. It's,
yep.
Because I know that some people, I know where my daughter works, you pay for it up front, and then you get check every now and then, right, as you put in, or you get credit. You don't, right, pay for it, but you get credit, yep, for it. I'm not exactly how it works, but it costs a year and you end up get paying off whatever it is.
Right.
$3,500.
Right. We've chosen not to do that. We're fortunate enough that we have enough, right, in the system. We're a small enough community, but we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing on behalf of the community, that we want to get that service because that's why we want the people, right? So I would rather have it not be a limiting factor. You're absolutely spot on that there are organizations across the country that you front load it. We'd rather say, okay, we'll have the difficulty coming back after the fact. I will say that experience for us, because of our community and the commitment that people have, we don't have people coming in, getting the training, and then jettisoning.
If that's your experience, then I'm happy.
Yep, that's where we're at.
Add to that real quick. Part of it is the vetting process that we go through. We don't just allow any old volunteer to come in, volunteer become part of the academy. We go through a hiring process, and part of the rigor is looking at their commitment to the community. How long have they been here? And sometimes new people are new, but we'll explore as part of the interview. So what's your plan? What's your intention next spring? Where do you see yourself in here? And we've not brought people on because they're like, yeah, probably won't be here. It's like, well, it's going to cost us this much money to get you through. And they self-select. They're like, yeah, I probably shouldn't do it then.
Many hours of commitment or otherwise.
Right, yeah, so.
Yep. All right. So that covers general fund. LOSAP, not anticipating any changes, but we have that as a self-supportive until people leave or if they leave. The reserve fund, this is where you will see it captured of what I was just talking about from the standpoint of the entry academy stuff. So that $109,000 in major equipment, that includes $60,000 for first years of payment on the boat from a loan standpoint. And I predicated that on a 5-year loan at about $90,000 a year to include interest. So at the end, that's $450,000. And I figured if we're not taking delivery of the boat until end of first or first part of second quarter, I said, let's put $60,000 in. The remaining part of that $109,500 gives us the opportunity, if we want to purchase another couple Type 7 UTVs, which we have not purchased. It's a rollover from this year. We were not willing, Chief Mona and I were not willing to incur that cost, because we don't have the infrastructure on the outer islands, the support from where it is. We may, moving forward here into the next year, maybe get one and have it dynamically deployed here that then we could take to one of the other outer islands as we continue. There's already one set up on Stewart. We had looked at a second one on Stewart and one on Henry. We haven't got a whole lot of contact back from Henry. And while we have some good conversation with the other group on Stewart, we don't have anyone that's come on board as a member yet. So they all want the stuff. And they say, when are we going to get the life-saving equipment? My response to them is, you are the life-saving equipment. We need to get you on board and trained up. Then we will give you the resources in order to apply your skill set. I would much rather have us have the apparatus here that we can take there with trained personnel to do it, because it's the people that save the lives with the equipment that, that the community provides. That's why that one is set that way. And then you see the minor equipment is the $35,000 for new turnouts for an entry academy. That's what I have embedded into our reserve fund.
The question, so for this fiscal year that we're in now, you had 149.5.
Mm-hmm.
And third quarter was 32,315.
Correct.
So your the proposed budget is $5,000 less than the budget for last year. Correct.
I'm seeing $50,000 less.
Pardon me.
We budgeted. You're saying for reserve, correct?
So
149,000, and we're saying 109. That's 50,000, correct?
No, you. Oh, the total expenditures, 149.5, and mm-hmm. you've got 144.5.
Right.
So you're actually
I see that. Yes.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so you're actually asking for $5,000 less than you did last year.
Correct.
So, again, good stewardship, you know, saving money where we can.
And that was actually, if you, so... Full piece on that. The 100,000 was I put 100,000 aside in case we needed to use it as a down payment on the boat, not anticipating it. Didn't need to be spent. The 49,000 was for the three UTVs. We bought one because that was the right application. You will notice that even though we did an academy towards the end of last year coming into this one, we had enough turnouts to outfit people. We had enough built into the system that we didn't have to purchase. That 35,000 is solely for 10 new sets of turnouts. So assuming we have nothing upstairs that people will fit in, that will take care of them in fully service turnouts, that's to buy 10 brand new pairs. So to your point, we've tried to use what we have and then effectively and efficiently maintain what we've got going forward that says, if I need to buy 10, we're going to budget for 10. If we only need to buy five, well, then you're going to have more money at the end of the year.
Great.
That covers all the funds. You have all the detail sheets below. I know you've had some time limited to look over that. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and we'll do a little deeper dig and presentation at your budget hearing so that everyone and public can hear what we've done. I wanted to give you all the detail sheets and a cursory because I'd love to get any feedback, any concerns, or otherwise.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've been on the commission here, I've seen nobody having to switch funds from here to there.
That is correct.
Okay, that's steady throughout.
That is correct. I would much rather, like we said, be conservative in it and then manage the budget of what we have as opposed to coming back regularly and asking for budget adjustments. And everything is tracked in the specific line item. So if you, as you see on a month-to-month basis, you will see some come up, some come down. If you overspend in one, as long as our total personnel services are within budget at the end of the year, you could be off in your individual line items. Same thing with materials and services. The budget will match, but I don't like to change. I like to budget appropriately and then live within what you've given us to live within. If we need to change, we'll come back and ask. I was really worried, and we'll talk here when we get into this month's stuff. But you'll be pleased that staff was able to work within our budget of where we are currently. And that is correct, and it's anticipated this way.
I wanted to make that point. It does appear that the way it is, I just wanted to make sure that it's
mm-hmm.
that in itself is a yeoman's task.
Yeah.
Albert? They say it's like dad comes in and why are you spending? Sorry. They do a great job of managing their budgets. And I will say this is the first one. And 2018, I came on at the end of 2018. So this was living in and coming into 2019 of where we started managing as this organization under me. What I will give full credit to my staff is Historically, they weren't part of the budget process. It was given to them and not even really allowed or empowered to manage it. Where they are today, they put together budget proposals. They have their line items. Noel manages all of ops. Carl manages training. The line manages theirs, and each officer that have their projects manage their projects. They put it in. They have active input into the development of this budget. Robin has done a great job in her perspective that she brought from the county from a payroll perspective, has been instrumental in making our benefits balance and making our staffing roles balance as to what we need to. So this is the staff that does this. We just guide it along, and we appreciate you all supporting us as we move forward in it.
Albert, any comments?
No, I'm fine. I worked on it today, most of the morning, looking at the budget, and I'll do some more digging. And then if I have anything, I'll catch up with the chief before the next meeting.
Well, then let me finish this off with just I'm grateful for all the work that's here. I like the fact that we've got, 5 years worth of budgets here, so we can compare and see, just how we're doing with the money that we have. And I've looked at this at home and on my computer. Now I've got it printed out. I'm going to take this back and study it a little bit and see a little bit better how we are doing. And then maybe at the next meeting, we can, if we have any concerns, we can go over them then, and then hopefully pass this budget.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for bringing to light that one point that you just did with the historics. Yeah, when I got here, we looked at it, and it was budget to budget. I don't know how you budget to budget. I had last year's budget and then the proposed current one. And I'm like, well, where are the actuals? Well, we don't do that. Okay. Staff was like, okay. And I'm like, well, we're going to do it now. So we are now at a point where we've got 4 years of actuals that you can compare, because I think that really, as you guys are all reviewing it, you can see trends, subline items, individuals, and overall. And I don't know how you could do that from budget to budget. So you have better documentation that staff is giving us to make better decisions. So thank you for that. We have nothing else under new business or old business for you.
Okay.
Norman?
Sir.
I've got, one comment on the past budgets. Even though you brought a whole new light to the budget proposal the last, that we have now up going back 5 years, but, our previous management, our previous chiefs, they were, my whole career here has been, our staff and our previous administration have always been very conservative. They, we've never had a big spender. So, that's the reason we are here today, But, you brought a whole new element to our budgeting process and our whole operating project. So, I commend you for that. But, we've always been a very conservative fire district.
And that is demonstrated by the money and the budgets of what you've had.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Albert.
Okay.
I think we all feel that way about what's been going on the last few years. We're all very pleased with how things have progressed. Okay, there's no old business. So financials.
Okay, staff reports and financials. Before you, this will give you everything to, as you see, the target is 75%. So this is through the end of the third quarter. So targets of 75% is where we want to be. You can see that at the time of this, which is the end of September, general fund, we're still in the process of bringing in revenues. So overall, with revenues, we're at 74%. But here's the key part that I want to call out. If you recall last month under personnel services, I was worried about the benefit section and where we were running, because we were about 1% under budget to be having spent to where we were projected to date. I don't like to be that close, because then I'm going to have to come to you and ask us to move some funds. And I don't like that, because that means something was off. You can see, and it dawned on me, because if you recall last month, we had an additional payroll that was paid last month because of timing that you don't see here. This one is actually more accurate to where we are to date because we had that extra payment. So we are truly at 72% of the budget. But the key thing for you all is how we're managing. Target of 75% of our $2 million plus dollar budget. We are at 65% of budget between personnel services, materials and services. The check and balance is that 75% on the $313,000 for the payments and where we are for capital projects. So you can be proud of your staff of maintaining that budget and overall being at 65% overall. So where we were budgeted at $2.88 million total of budgeted between all of our funds actuals, we were at 2.1, which puts us for revenues, we had a 2.5 budgeted expenditures and we're at 1.6 at 65% of the budget. So staff is living up to the expectations of our community. Specifically for the month of September, you can see total fund assets of right around 500,000, so 493,194, with the liabilities of 129,000. You can see that on the second page of that for balances, general fund between cash investment and LOSAP, you had 131,000 in general fund and 338,000 in reserves. That capital bond, we always have that to pay the payment for the apparatus. Now, revenue. Yes, sir.
Will that, once it's paid off, will that goes away?
There will be zero. That is correct. So that 24,000, next month it will be 7,000, and then December that will not have anything in that. Revenues, you can see last month, we haven't, at the end of September, we had only brought in 39,000. We have already in the process of taxes are starting to come in. So that's healthy now. It's coming back to where we want it to be. Expenditures, you can see that 58,000 is where we were for all of payroll. That is because one of the payrolls that normally would have been there was the month before. That puts us right into balance where we want to be, 72% overall. The one piece that we have been watching on your detail sheets that you got, we are over budget on benefits, but that's, as I explained, we had more people coming. We have more benefits that we need to pay out because we spooled up Tom to full time. We have new children and families. But overall, because of personnel services, we've managed the overtime and the payroll as such that it's still keeping us in balance at that 72% of overall budget, even though we're higher than we should be or anticipated at the beginning of the year because we didn't predicate those. We may be at 109% for benefits, but we're under budget on payroll. So overall, personnel services are still under budget. And I'm not recommending any movement of any funds into that to keep it balanced because we're able to manage it within those two buckets. Does that make sense or any questions on that?
No.
I'd be happy to answer any questions on financials before we move into the staff reports.
Well, I have one question that it probably doesn't really, it has to do with our paying off our loan on our fire engines.
Sir.
Because when we borrowed that money through Key Bank, and we had an unconventional car loan with Key Bank, does anybody remember what Key Bank did they have a lien on those engines as far as the titles go? Does anybody look at? I mean,
because it was a conventional loan, so if you didn't pay it off, they could repo them. That is correct.
So somewhere they will do a conveyance on whatever they and that'll all be
absolutely
taken care of. Process. Yeah.
Okay. That is correct. Once it demonstrates being paid off, this is not an early payoff. So this is not a situation where there would be pre-payoff penalties. And the original loan that you all got into, if you had wanted to pay it off early, there would have been a pre-payoff penalty, which is why we maintained as we were. There are none of that. This is as scheduled. And yes, once those are done, the title will be updated and transferred off to the district as full and paid free and clear titles. That is correct, which is good because in end of 2024, 2025, we've been asked, as you've heard me talk about our capital replacement plan, and wanting to switch around the apparatus at a couple of the stations. Another fire department is interested, it's Orcas, is interested at purchasing a couple of our Rosenbauers into their fleet. That actually fits well in line with what we've been talking about, a capital replacement. And that would give you the opportunity to do that. It also helps from a system standpoint in the county that we would have more apparatus that are all the same throughout the county. And it would give us the opportunity to actually, as opposed to having to buy six all at once, we start to put it into a rotation, because I believe a better plan would be if we plan every 5 years to buy a couple new ones, then you're constantly going to have a new fleet and you don't have to do a mass purchase of six all at once. It'll be a couple every 5 years. Then you will maintain the fleet within Washington Survey and Ratings recommendations and best practices.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Nope. I think that's it.
Okay, staff report wise, I would like to turn over to Chief Monin for operations report.
So before you end your October report, reporting from the month of September, we had a total of 86 responses. 63% of those are EMS and rescue, all there's 37%. That's a total response per day of 2.9 calls. We mirrored our reaction time as to the previous month, a minute and 34 seconds. It's a little bit over our 90-second goal, but it's definitely well within reason. And I like the fact that I'm starting to see it level off. It bounced around a lot there for a while, and we're actually seeing it sort of steady out, which is a good thing. Overall travel time, except for any exceptions or extraordinary events, is 8 minutes and 26 seconds. You can see on your September total responses by station area, they're basically in line as usual. We had two out of district calls, and we had no outer island calls for the month.
Question. How can they be out of district and not outer island?
Outer island is what we classify as in our district, and any islands outside of that or any communities outside of that would be out of district.
So where would the
Waldron Island would be
out of district, but out of district. Maybe I misheard you. I thought you said we had no outer island responses.
We had no outer island, which is our district, and we only had out of district responses.
So go to Waldron,
I got it. Yeah,
it's out of district, but it's another island.
I may be slow, but I get it.
You almost got me.
Well, then I've accomplished my
right here with you. I don't know why. So, and you can see those September travel times by zone broken out. Highlights, minimum staffing was met. Call volume decreased 15% compared to September of 2021. Average year to date is lower by 7% compared to the same period in 2021. Like I said, the reaction time is just over a 90-second benchmark. Travel times are improved in all zones relative to previous years, so we've been seeing this as the overall trend, and basically it's reflecting the value of having a shift crew 24/7. It's just better service. The new countywide coding communication system continues to present issues, so stay tuned on that. The county staff, along with agency leaders, are collectively working out the kinks, and as an ongoing, it's kind of turning into a saga. So we'll see how it goes.
Pardon that mumble.
Echo. Safeboat, we got some good news, and I commend the sales rep we've been working with, Mark Stott. I asked him to have some, if he could have some preliminary drawings for your meeting. He was like, "Ooh, I'm not so sure," and he actually made it happen. So you can go ahead and take a look at those. I've numbered those. So if you have any questions on that, but essentially I can walk you through them. And Frank, if you share, it was really nice. Sorry, Albert, again.
No problem. Hold it close to the phone.
So if you look at the first rendition, that just basically exemplifies the profile of the vessel showing the drop bow with steps cut into that as it drops down and a handrail. So when we drop the bow on a beach or an area, you've got, you know, basically a significant gap made up by those steps to easily get on and off. You can see that there's a monitor on the bow. That is a remote monitor. So that monitor's designed specifically to operate while personnel are in the cab, protecting the personnel from smoke and gases, and also providing a better control in the system, communication between who's operating the nozzle and who's operating the vessel, because the dynamics are pretty intense. You can see we have our mast display on the front of the cab. We have a single slide door on the starboard side. We got a storage rack on top for burno litter. And then going back, you can see that there's a bimini and a step getting up to the bimini. In the rear, it's part of the safe boat product. They have the little cutouts in the rear. Those are for quick rescue. You can drag somebody right over the gunwale in the back. On to number two. Gives you a profile view, see-through view, so you can see the seat arrangements. You can see forward of those seats, you can see where a furno would sit, so there's a bench on the starboard side, and then you have your pilot seat, and then mate seat, and group supervisor seat, or someone else if needed. You can see on the bow monitor, there's some port discharges on there, so we can put hoses on there if we want. And then in the rear where the pump is, there's additional discharges. And go forward.
About the pump.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at the pictures, is this a submersible pump that you would use, or is this connected?
Nope. It's got a chase. It's hard mounted to the vessel.
And then it's got a
drawing straight from
the
yep
straight through.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So is this remote start, or is this?
No, you would start it from the pump side.
Are we talking something like what we have on our brush rigs?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's remote start. Yeah, it's from in the cab.
It'll be on your panel.
It is in the cab. Okay.
Yes. Oh, you can actually start it from the rear end.
Gotcha.
Yep.
What's the draft of this thing?
2 feet.
Yep.
So it's a gas pump, isn't it?
Yes.
The fuel gas, so it uses the same fuel from the fuel tank.
Yep.
Correct.
Okay. So the next page, you're looking at it from the aft corner view, just gives you a little more visual on how those things lay out. And this is preliminary drawing too. So we're just seeing initial sketches from the design team.
You'll have the full everything. He wanted to get us something for our meeting today. Mm-hmm. For you.
And the final diagram shows the trolley track that we're having designed. So for patient moving in and off the vessel, we've come up with a certified track system that will help manage that process. In my opinion, those of you who've been on some of the transports on the vessel, even on the larger vessel, the Sentinel, it's one of the most puckery moments is moving a patient from another vessel or from a dock or from basically anywhere onto a boat and off of a boat. And having a positive connection point that's actually movable and we can transverse, and the heavier the patient is, it doesn't make any difference because it's all going to be held by the vessel. We can scoot them in and out and do it safely for both the patient and the personnel trying to move to go around.
It's kind of just kind of like on the airplane.
It's a trolley, so it's a trolley track.
Same thing.
Yeah, so it's similar with the top connection. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And we went with the bimini cover. You can keep it open, but we said it's the northwest. We may be on the aft deck. It's going to have a bimini cover so that it can reduce the amount of rain coming down on things. And you can see where there's storage. Because as we predicate out the go kits, depending upon what the mission is, we can store some inside the cabin, but we can also secure on the aft gear, go boxes or whatever that's specific for the mission.
That's what that shelf there.
Correct.
Yep. I suppose maybe.
Hose, it's predicated on the mission. So if it's a wildland, it's going to have wildland hose connectors. And otherwise, if it's structural hose and connectors, if it's medical, if it's a rescue, whatever the case may be, that's why we wanted those. And then stuff that needs to be more protected from the elements by mission will be stored inside. It'll always have medical gear stored inside in the storage underneath on the starboard side, but aft gives us additional securing points.
So there you go with that. That's any more questions on the boat? Like you said, we'll have much more coming our way. This is just preliminary. And we actually have one more opportunity to go through it with a fine tooth comb, just to make sure we like everything. Mm-hmm. They cut the materials and start building.
And it's slated to go to production November 9th, which is why they're trying to get everything set for us, approved and otherwise. So they're actively working on the design.
So do they still need an approval from the department, or are we?
We will finalize. We're in contract with them. So right. From you all, we're good to go. We will give them the final nod that says, yes, this meets our specs. Yes, this is what we want, how we want. And that will be Chief Bonin and I will finish that up. That's why we wanted to get these before we'll give them the final nod. We will get together with leadership from the Marine group that says, here's what we all talked about. Here's what they've given us back with any recommendations, because we operate it. They build it and understand, which is where the trolley system and otherwise came from. Then we will all say, yep, good. And it'll go back, because the next drawings will be the electricals, the plumbing, how everything goes to play. I will say that the team has done a great job. It's hard to see on some of that, but the discussion was, we need floods on the aft. We need floods on the bow. We need floods on the drop step. They added all of those to make sure that there will be good lighting all the way around on both port and starboard.
On deck
and outside. So there's going to be good visibility inside. We'll have the dual white, red for night vision light inside. They've adapted off as we asked to shift the mate back aft on the port side, and opens it up to move patients easier, as well as a command position forward in the cabin. So they've done a great job working with us, listening to us, because as they put it, they've had some people come in and, well, we need it this way. And the engineer's like, we're recommending this. No, you must do it this way. And we're like, you guys build it. Here's what we'd like. And they're like, oh, so we can make recommendations. Yes, tell us what works best as what they've done. And they're like, oh, you guys are easy to work with. And you're listening to what we, the engineers, are telling you works best from what you want to accomplish. We gave them what mission was. They built it for us. So this is the out product of that.
Okay, I want to design by committee.
We have that. It's called the Quint.
Yeah.
And aside from that, I have nothing else to report.
Okay. Do you have some comment?
Oh, exactly. Yes.
Okay, so training, do you have anything for us on what we've accomplished over the last month on that?
We've just been able to continue with our competency-based training. Looking good. The biggest thing that's coming through is a new three-year OTEP ongoing training and evaluation program for our medical staff. That's due. Dr. Quartz has given us a draft, and I'm going to get in conversation with him. A couple of things to look at. But it's good to have that next 3 years planned out. So that's coming down the pipe.
Perfect. Thank you. Fleet facilities is on track.
All vehicles are in service?
All vehicles, yes. Engine 32 is back in service now. We got it done yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yep.
Can we get a title for the dash or something?
Yes. We've had the dash for a long time. Albert, you'll love this one. We've had the dash since 1986. They actually just got us the title, and they called it, It's not called a Pierce. I don't know what the heck they called it. I don't remember. It was weird. So we will get that fixed up as to what it's called. But that showed up 2 days ago. Weirdest thing. Robin's like, what is this? And we're looking at that's the dash that we've had since 86. So who knows how that was. But we'll be more on top of that for these Nick Rosenbauer. And it was KeyBank that had it. They were going, oh, this is your guys's. So we'll make sure that it's taken better care of for the Rosenbauers. I was able to talk to the association president. He wanted to share that the partnership with us for the open house was a success. We had a number of people that came through, association sponsored the food. Carl will appreciate this one because we do CPR trainings both for ourselves as well as the public. It was becoming cumbersome to work with the training site. So we put in a request to the C Foundation and they have approved to buy 4 training mannequins and 4 training AEDs. So that we had actually looked at the budget, but we said, hey, let's talk to the C Foundation. And that is working through the association. So they are purchasing that. So that will open things up and we will be able to take care of our own equipment. Second piece is they wanted to share that we have had some members that went to them through that same fund on getting some educationals. They have a hard case that they will bring in. And they've got a couple people that did some educational stuff. So we have our members that are continuing to get education and improve themselves. The final piece that they wanted us to share with you was on the 5th Monday, they are planning to do another group meal that if you're welcome and interested to come by, that will be on Halloween. It will be here. We do have a plan should the town come and ask us to support with lighting and otherwise from the trick or treating. We have heard nothing, but in case they come in at the last moment, we will be ready to go. But we have heard nothing and that's on the town and the neighborhoods to get road closures and otherwise. We just haven't heard anything at this point, but are good to go. Have nothing else to add from a staff perspective on staff reports. Our focus coming up to here was working on the budget and maintaining our crews and be ready for the open house, which kudos to Lieutenant Venegas, AO, Katie, and President Adam Green. They did a fantastic job of putting together the flow, the IAP, which I asked them to do so that we could do it once and then it can be adapted as we move forward. They did a fantastic job. The flow was good. People and the public were engaged. They had a good live fire demonstration. People got to try to put out the kitchen fire prop with the fire extinguisher, and we had Jet, one of our crisis response canines, were able to participate, and it was well received. So nothing else, and be happy to answer questions for reports and on behalf of staff.
Okay. Albert, do you have anything?
No, I'm fine. No, I'm okay. Fine.
And there's no suggestions for executive session.
So I have just a couple quick comments about the open house. I was here helping out. I thought it went fantastic. We had a really good turnout of citizens coming through, lots of kids. There was hot dogs and chips and drink and cookies. I think Tom could verify that cookies were very well received. To piggyback what you said about Adam Green and Katie and Albert Gilbert, they did a fantastic job. They did an IAP for the event, which I thought was marvelous.
An incident action plan?
Huh? Well, actually, they didn't do an incident action plan. They did an event plan. And I personally went to each one of them and told them what a great job I thought they did. For a first time ever doing one, I thought that it was just... It was better than half the ones I've seen people do that do it all the time. I did tell them I wanted to get together with them to go over as a firefighter, not as a commissioner, to go over and show them where they could improve on it for next time to make the flow a little bit better for them. But what they did was really above and beyond what I would have expected for a first time event action plan. So kudos to them. Kudos to the department. We had a lot of volunteers came in to help out. I heard a lot of comments about, yeah, we did a really good job this time, but I think we can do better next time. I think there's more things that we can do for the public. And I can only wait, can't wait for next year to see how well that goes. So I just wanted to add my comments about that. And having said that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
So moved.
Okay. And a second, I've got. Okay. No comments about adjourning. Albert, stay on for just a second after we get off here.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I have a first. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Motion passed. This meeting is adjourned.